The Bloody Truth by Stephen Hill. Chapter 13. Why Suffering Was Necessary. If the ultimate goal was for Christ's blood to serve as the antidote to sin and death, why didn't the Father choose an easier path? Why not allow His Son to live a perfect, sinless life and then simply offer Himself in a painless way? Why the agony of Gethsemane? Why the betrayal, the scourging, the thorns, the nails? The answer, when we grasp it, reveals something staggering. Suffering was not an unfortunate byproduct. It was the proving ground of perfect love. The champion's qualification. Our champion could truly represent the human race only if he experienced the full spectrum of human weakness and trial. Hebrews 2:10 says it plainly, "For it became him, in leading many sons into glory, to perfect the inaugurator of their salvation through sufferings." Christ was already sinless. But perfect here extends also to mean fully equipped and completely qualified. The suffering he endured was the arena in which his flawless obedience was tested and proven. Without the weight of trials pressing in from every side, the faithfulness of the man Christ Jesus could not have been displayed in its fullness. The cosmic witness of suffering. This was not only for our sake, it was for the sake of the entire cosmos. Celestial beings had to see for themselves that a man, made of the same fragile clay as the rest of us, could stare down the full arsenal of sin and death and emerge victorious. Without the agony, without the insults, without the moments when escape seemed so close yet was refused, the God of this world could have claimed that our hero's obedience was untested, theoretical. Instead, Christ's obedience was forged in the furnace of suffering, leaving no doubt in any realm about his right to reign. The love that could not be doubted. Suffering also magnified the love of both the Father and the Son. For the Father, creating his Son in a world that he knew would reject, torture, and kill him was the ultimate declaration. There is nothing I will withhold to bring my creation back to myself. For the Son, each act of endurance, each refusal to call down legions of angels, each step carrying the cross was a tangible proclamation. I trust my Father completely. And I love those he has given me without condition. The suffering is the demonstration. Without it, the love could still be declared, but it would not have been demonstrated in the most vivid and undeniable way possible. Suffering as victory, not defeat. Satan surely saw the cross as his moment of triumph until he realized what had actually taken place. Yet the irony of the plan is that the very suffering he orchestrated became the evidence of his own defeat. Every lash, every mockery, every spike was another step toward the moment when sin and death would be broken. Colossians 2:15 tells us that, through the cross, Christ stripped the sovereignties and authorities with boldness, making a show of them, triumphing over them in it. The suffering was the means of that triumph, and the secrets that God kept hidden in himself prior to the Apostle Paul needed to be hidden from celestial beings more than from men. Our perspective on suffering. For believers, Christ's path redefines how we view our own trials. We can see that suffering is not a sign of God's absence, but is often the place where trust deepens, faith solidifies, and love is most clearly displayed. Our champion walked that path first, and because he did, we can face whatever comes, knowing that the antidote has already been applied and the battle already won. Chapter 13. Key Takeaways. Christ's suffering qualified him as the perfect champion. Celestial beings witnessed his obedience under trial, validating his reign. Suffering displayed the Father's love and turned Satan's schemes into defeat.